Hello, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Britstrat. I hope you had a great Easter break and you managed to have some downtime. If you listened last week, you'll know Nick's away this week. He's sunning himself in South Wales, lucky chap, so it's just me this week. But don't worry, it's not going to be me talking for half an hour. You don't have to put up with that. Today, we've got an interview. I don't know what it's like in your hometown, but in Reading, for a long time, Nick and I have been bemoaning the fact that there's not really a place to meet up with other bootstrappers or other startups and talk about the sort of stuff we read about and talk about between ourselves. And I think it's really important to be able to do that. In the two microcomps I've been to, the two Microconf Europe conferences, one of the most important things I've got out of it has been what they call the hallway track. And that's the bit between the presentations that you get to mingle with the other bootstrappers. And you get to share ideas and talk about problems. And I think that face-to-face interaction is really, really important. So a co-working space or something like that would be great, I think. Somewhere where you could go and you could meet other like-minded people. And again, talk about the problems and maybe work on projects together, that sort of thing. Now, that's changed for us in Reading recently. There's an organisation called Connect TVT started up, which is Connect Thames Valley Technology. And what they've done is they've created a co-working space called The Hub. And it's great. Yeah, I've been a couple of times now. And this interview today is with Louise Clark, who founded, one of the founders of The Hub and Connect TVT. It's my first interview, so bear with me. Hopefully you'll get something out of it and enjoy the interview. And I'd love to hear any feedback you may have. So without further ado, here's Louise. We've got Louise Clark today, who's from Connect TVT, which is Connect Thames Valley Tech. Hello, Louise.
Hello.
So Louise, I know Louise from a long time ago, working with the FSB for a while. And one of the things that we did together, which actually I say together, but Louise did all the work, was set up a couple of events aimed at sort of technology firms. And they went really, really well. And then, you know, since then, Louise has created a bit of a storm with Connect TVT. So I'll hand over to Louise. If you want to just introduce what Connect TVT is, let us know a bit about it, that'd be great.
So I think Connect TVT actually spun out of the events that Martin and I ran. The events were started because there was a frustration that everything was happening in London, and what was once the Silicon Valley of Europe had slightly lost some of its shine. So we just decided to do something locally to bring everyone together. And so Connect TVT was just really a bigger extension of those events to make a bit more noise about the region. So we started off as a virtual pain in the arse to just give the Thames Valley a bit of a kick and wake it up and try and find out what was actually going on out here.
Yeah. What sort of things did you do to get started? How did you get the ball rolling?
So I managed to find a co-founder called Adam Clark, who I actually met at the FSB technology event. So there's quite a story there in itself.
Yeah.
who was crazy enough to come along for the journey. So he actually did all the web dev and all the marketing and branding, which is why we're very pink. That's nothing to do with me. That came from Adam. And I just drove around in my car knocking on doors saying, does anyone else realise we've disappeared off the tech cluster map?
Yeah.
And people kept saying, no, when did that happen? We're still the Silicon Valley. And I think, so it took a long time to break down doors, but it was about 7 months before we actually launched on the 1st of June of just knocking on doors and having meetings and talking to people.
Yeah, because I guess the thing we've got around here, around Reading in particular, we've got Microsoft and Oracle and a lot of big tech firms.
Yeah.
But they're the big, big tech firms, and they could be anywhere really, but they've just chosen to be in Reading. And there's less of the startup scene that's apparent anyway.
I think we've just traded on the big names, and we haven't really done a lot to help the startups and the people in their garages and sheds who actually are working on some quite interesting things, but it's been quite difficult for them and not having something to grasp onto to help them with their marketing and PR.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where the podcast comes from. Nick and I met. We would call ourselves bootstrappers, although at the moment there's not much being bootstrapped. There's always side projects that we get onto, and so we met basically through what used to be called the Joel on Software forums, and we went out for beers, and then we started our own little tech hub, just the two of us. But yeah, you're right. I think there's always been something missing in this area for a good while now. So it's fantastic to see this place start up, and so we're sat in the hub today.
Yep.
Can you tell us a bit about what the hub is?
Yeah, maybe a little bit about how the hub came about. So Connectivity was never going to be a physical presence. It was always going to be virtual. Right. And then Oxford Properties, who run Green Park, actually offered us a space to do a three-month PR starting to set up a tech hub.
Right.
And we were adamant that it was only going to last 3 months, and then we shut it because we didn't want to run a physical space.
Yeah.
And then a month into the project, we realised that actually there were lots of people who would like a physical space to come to, not necessarily every day, but just to come and meet like-minded people.
Yeah.
So we signed our life away and have signed a two-year lease to set up an innovation hub. Yeah, first time ever.
So how did that get funded? I mean, obviously it's an expensive business.
Yeah, so for the first 3 months, Adam and I personally funded it. So we know what bootstrapping is about.
Yeah.
You know, we've driven around in my van picking up free furniture. So most of the stuff you see in the hub hasn't actually been purchased.
It's right,
been
okay.
Begged, borrowed and stolen. but then we also went to the local enterprise partnership because, you know, part of the strategic economic plan was to actually look after the sort of bootstrappers and startups.
Yeah.
So in November 2014, we were given $143,000 over 2 years, which sounds like a colossal amount of money. Mm. But when you're trying to run a physical space, we're not even going to be at break even yet. So we've still got to go through trying to raise some more money, get the space really full. But it's a kind of seed funding point.
Yeah. Oh, cool. And what sort of, you know, what sort of people do you get coming here? I mean, this is my second time here. I should come more often, really, but it's the second time. How many businesses do you have here?
So I suppose startups kind of sit at the nucleus, and that can be from a one-man band to a sort of an idea, someone who's working in a corporate at the minute. But also I think if startups just sit in here on their own, they're all going to tell each other how great they are. So we're also trying to bring down some of the reality checks. So sort of mentors. We also have freelancers, creatives.
Yeah.
So it's not just about tech. It's not just about startup. It's about creating a vibrant ecosystem.
Yeah. And do you is there some sort of way of encouraging people to work together, or at least, you know, make connections?
Yes, we run regular events. We're not great fans of sort of forced networking where everyone stands around and hands out their business cards. So I think some of it's just natural collaboration that happens through the space.
Yeah.
Some of it's through different events that we run. But I think people that come down and work in this kind of place understand what collaboration is about, and that's what they're seeking.
Yeah, sure. And have you seen many projects sort of be born from that sort of thing yet, or is it early days?
It's early days because I think we're only in our new space 5 weeks.
But
we've got Blue Sense Networks and Around Then who are actually collaborating. So they met through the space and some of the networking events.
Yeah.
So I think in 12 months' time, we'll have some really great stories to wheel out.
Yeah, that sounds great, yeah. I think this is, like you were saying earlier, really one of the big problems when you're starting out, you know, either you're doing a full-time job or freelancing like me, and then you've got your side projects that you're trying to build. There's so much information on the web that you can use, and we often talk about some of the articles we've read and things like that that are really, really helpful. But often I think face-to-face talking to somebody else that's done it or knows about it or is trying to do it as well is really useful. I think I'm going to try and get down here more often to do some of that.
I think that's the problem. Some people are working on projects that actually, if they just had a conversation with two or three other people.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam, the co-founder, he's working on another startup at the minute, and it was only through talking to someone else through the hub that he's now gone down a slightly different route with the company.
Yeah, yeah. So how do you manage it? So this isn't your sort of only thing, is it?
No.
And one of the things I'm interested in is I always struggle with juggling more than one thing going on at a time. So how have you managed to run your business as well as this?
Yeah, so right now I'm working 24/7.
Right.
So it has been really time consuming just setting up the hub. There is a lot of juggling. I'm hoping once the lab's actually built and we've got some of our big events out of the way, I'll have a bit more time on my hands. But I think the reality of startup is you just work a lot of hours.
Yeah. So you mentioned the lab there.
Yes.
What's the lab?
So rather than just being a co-working space with desks, we want to have a kind of geek playground where we're going to have 3D printers, an open device lab so people can come and test their apps on live devices rather than just SDKs.
Yeah.
We've also, RS Components have very kindly given us some hardware and software dev kits. We've got oscilloscopes coming, soldering stations. So it's kind of, if you've got a commercial, so we're not a makerspace.
No.
Because there's one in Reading.
Yeah.
But I think if you've got a commercial venture, then you would probably come into our kind of collaboration space. So that launched on the 24th of April.
Oh, that'd be cool, yeah. So in terms of, so I sometimes develop apps, and it's one of the things that I may look at in the future. Do you will you have sort of cross lots of different devices for testing apps on and things like that as part of this?
Yeah, so the plan is to have as many devices as possible, and the way an open device lab works best is where people just come and donate devices.
Right.
So we're talking to a mobile operator at the moment that we're hoping is going to give us a kickstart with a bunch of devices.
Yeah.
And then naturally, I mean, Bournemouth has something like 440 in there, so we'd love to beat that and make ours 500.
Yeah. Brilliant. Is there a bit of a community? So, you know, lots of people, I think, around the country, the world probably, will be looking at sort of the idea of a tech hub or even just co-working space as it is. You know, what do you think you need to think about from the start, from the go-get with a sort of a co-working space, how to set it up? Because it's a bit scary once you start talking premises and money and so on and so forth.
Yeah, probably don't do it. I think don't just be a desk. You know, I think there's lots of places you can go and just have a desk. But I think if you're looking to build a community, you have to have all the wraparound. You know, you need to mentors, you need events. Mm. I mean, we're looking at bringing in food-based startups on a Tuesday and a Thursday, so that actually it's another part of the community is, you know, food, and probably some drink-based ones as well.
Yeah.
Just so I think it is more than just a desk.
Yeah. So there's a bit more for people to get involved with and a bit more of a community. Because I guess that's it. You know, if people just turn up for the desk and the Wi-Fi, then they're not really going to collaborate
much.
You
might as well work at home if you're going to do that, really.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. And I know you've got a few events and things coming up. There's a thing called Startup Grind, which sounds interesting.
It's a Google for Entrepreneur initiative where we bring in crowd pulling headliners and local entrepreneurs just to share their stories. So either their successes, their failures, you know, encourage people, scare the bejesus out of them. And it's just a kind of fireside chat, a bit of an interview like this. So, you know, tell us about your story. And either end is washed down with beer and pizza.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. That always goes well.
Yeah.
Is there some sort of, have I picked up this incorrectly? Is there some sort of way you can sign up to be part of it and track the progress over 11 weeks or something like that? Or is that something
else? Yes, there's a startup boot camp. So for anyone who's maybe got an idea that they're looking to take to the next level, or someone who has already got an idea but maybe just needs someone keeping them on track for 11 weeks. So we've got a startup boot camp that's open to all. So it's mentoring on if you've got a good idea, finance, marketing, selling. So a full 11-week program.
Right, and who's so you're kind of providing mentors for that, are you?
Or? Yeah, so we've put together an entrepreneur comes in every week to share their story. Then we've got MAD groups, which will make a difference. So your kind of peers will keep you on track. You'll have homework, and we'll do a sort of passing out parade at the end of the 11 weeks and say, you know, well done, you've moved forward in your business and set objectives.
Oh, fantastic. And is that kind of free for people to
get involved
with?
Yes, it's totally free. All the events we've got are actually on the Connectivity website.
Right.
So anyone can sign up.
So what is that while we're talking about it?
So it's
connectivity.com?
Connectivity.co.uk.
Yeah. Right,
okay. And everything's on the events page. And I suppose the next big events we've got is the Festival of Digital Disruption.
Oh, right.
The 20th to 24th of April, it's 17 events across 5 days. So everything from 3D printing workshops, Internet of Things, hands-on. We're doing make a video in a day, a film festival.
Oh, right.
Thames Valley Big Data.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we want people to get involved.
Excellent. That sounds fantastic. So going back to sort of how you kind of got the thing started, I think we talked about some of the challenges in terms of time and finance and so on. So are they the main challenges that you faced, or are there some sort of out of the left wing sort of challenges that you can think of as well?
I think the main challenges are the Thames Valley at the minute.
Oh, right.
So I think the Thames Valley is a very closed region with lots of people doing really great things but not necessarily bringing it all together.
Right.
And I think it needs a fundamental mindset shift to actually one of collaboration, because that's what the other tech clusters around the UK are doing really well.
Yeah.
So my biggest challenge has been old guard not wanting to change.
Right, okay.
You know, I think then if we hadn't been given the money, we would have found a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the resistance.
Yeah, keep that up. I'm sure you'll get through. Yeah. And how'd you get the word out about it?
At the moment, it's just really hard work, because we don't have anything to sort of in terms of marketing budget. So we use Meetup a lot. We've got a number of different Meetup groups with our we put our events on.
Yeah.
And I'm literally individually LinkedIn messaging people to say, I think you might be interested in the space. Come down and have a look.
Yeah.
We're taking leaflets to Reading Station in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be there from 6 till 10 next Tuesday morning.
Right.
And 5 till 8 next Thursday in the evening to try and catch people. So it is, again, just hard graft.
Yeah, and getting out there. So you're talking about doing like things in the physical space as well as online.
Yeah, and I think online's great, but I think you can't beat going out and meeting people face to face.
Yeah. Have you spent any money on things like ads and things like that to try and attract people? No.
No.
Is that something you consider, or is it just...
If we had more budget, we would. Yeah, I think if we could find the money to make sure we break even, then we'd be more comfortable to spend some money on sort of marketing. But right now, it's proper bootstrap, shoestring, being creative.
Yeah. And so the hub, I mean, I guess it costs, well, I know it costs to be here.
Yeah.
And it's cheap, but there's still some money there. Is that intended to break even, or are you hoping to make some money out of that to invest back in? Or
I think the physical space will only ever break even. Yeah. I think, you know, with the prices we're charging, because it's not about making money from the desk, it's about building the community. So, you know, we need to find some corporates to fall in love with us and try and top up the pot, still to make it a break even activity.
Have you had much interest from the big firms?
IBM have just got involved with us, and okay. KPMG and Intel. So it's starting to happen. But I think the problem, as a lot of startups will find, when you're new, it takes the corporates a little while to become emotionally attached to you, and also to make sure you're still going to be around.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, great. Okay, is there anything else you wanted to say about the connectivity for the time being?
Just come down and have a look at the space.
Who's
and
it open
get
to? I mean, who can come? Anybody?
Anyone who wants to book a desk, unless you're coming down just to sell blatantly to the people that are working here. Then, you know, we don't want that to happen in the space. But other than that, everyone's welcome.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, well, thanks very much, Louise.
Thank you.
Cheers. Okay, so I realise this is going to be quite a short episode this week. I had a whole long list of questions to ask Louise, and I seem to rattle through them in double quick time. And I realised listening to it back that there are a lot of questions that maybe I should have asked that I didn't ask. I think more practice is needed on the interview front. But if you have got any questions related to connectivity or technology hubs or co-working spaces in general, please drop me a line and I'll forward them on to Louise and see what she has to say and get back to you. I'd appreciate any feedback on this. I think Nick's going to be back next week, so we should be back onto the normal type of podcast, Two Men in a Shed. So thanks again for listening, and I'll speak to you next week. Cheers.